with the subject of prayer for a few weeks and just some thoughts, and then we break up and have our prayer groups. And so we want to again do that tonight, and just it usually works out where it's just a little bit more personal and can deal with certain things and talk about things after we divide the ladies and the men. And so if you feel free to do that, you can. Or if you want to stay one group or another, that's okay too. And just have some time of prayer and pray the Lord to bless different needs and things that we have. And the Bible has a lot to say about prayer. It has much to say concerning this issue that we sometimes so neglect, the things that we do not sometimes count as important. We find out that they are important. I have found that a lot of times folks that don't think too much about prayer, until they need prayer, until they experience some things that they need the prayer from God's people. And thank the Lord, it is available to us. And the Lord is always there to help us. And He gives us some instructions in the Scripture concerning this subject of prayer. And so we're going to just deal with just a couple of things tonight, and then we'll have our time of prayer. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter number 13. Mark chapter number 13, and we're going to read in verse number 31 down through verse 33. The gist of the passage here, it's the parable of the fig tree that deals primarily with the coming of the Lord. But right in the midst of this, we have a word given to us right at the last verse of this parable. There's some things given to us concerning praying and concerning prayer. So let's look in Mark chapter 13, verse 31, and we'll read down through verse 33. It says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." What a promise that is that God gives to us. This whole world that we live on, and the heavens above us, one of these days are going to be changed. They're going to pass away, but the word of God, the words of the Lord, shall never, never pass away. They're forever settled. They may be unsettled upon this world, in this world, but they're settled in heaven. And I thank God for that. Verse 32 says, "But of the day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." So here that verse tells us that there's an hour, there's a day coming that no one knows except the Father. And one day Jesus shall come. And then the Lord gives instructions to His disciples here. It's concerning this thing of prayer. It says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Watch and pray. Those two words of what we're going to sort of key in on tonight concerning watching and praying. They go together. They are words that are used together in more than one place. The Lord again uses that thought in Mark chapter 14, verse number 38, he says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." So he tells us to watch and pray. Both of these instructions given to his disciples on different occasions, different things taking place. But he gives the same instruction there for us to watch and to pray. These two occasions the Lord gives to us show us seemingly how closely related watching and praying are together. The Apostle Paul echoes that also in the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." So here he tells us to pray and to watch. And so those two terms again together. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 and verse number 18, right at the end of the passage that deals with the warfare that we have and putting on the whole armor of God, verse number 18 tells us, says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So here, the Lord tells His disciples to watch and pray. The Apostle Paul gives instructions to these two churches to watch and pray. And those things go together. A great deal of our praying, I'm afraid, is just unprofitable. I find myself repeating a prayer like it's something that is just known. And sometimes prayer like that is just nothing more than just a formal statement or a formal idea of praying. When we really need to get alone with God and get down to the very roots of the needs that we have and to be able to talk to the Lord in our personal prayer closet. And those Old Testament saints, those New Testament saints of the early time, when the Lord told them they need to pray in their closet, they would picture themselves pulling up that shawl that they wore, and they would pray in their own place, wherever they were. That was their prayer closet. And so you and I tonight, we should have a special place. We should have a special way and times that we can pray to our Lord, and not just the formal type of prayer, not just something that might be impressionable upon those that would be hearing. It might impress them, but it might not be profitable to us. It may not help us at all, because that's just a stating. We sometimes separate this thing of watching and praying when we ought to put it together. It's like having air without oxygen and water without hydrogen. You know, it just doesn't exist. We need to watch and pray. And so tonight I want to look at three or four things that we are to watch for in our personal prayer life and how that the Lord will help us in this. And then we'll have our prayer request and time that we can go to the Lord and pray. First of all, we need to watch for the opportunities of prayer. And I'm very lacking in this. Sometimes I falter and fail in my personal prayer life, but there are many opportunities that come to us that we can pray for someone in a special way. Miss Fallon sent me a text a while ago, said that her half-brother was out of state, but he's in ICU and has a lot of problems. And so when that occasion comes, we need to pray. When someone asks us to pray, we ought not just say, "I will do that." So many times we say, "I'll pray for you," and we go home and we turn on the TV and we never pray for them. And so we need to take care and to watch for the opportunities that come our way that we can pray one for another. Sometimes we have set times of prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it gives us the habit of going to the Lord in prayer. But sometimes folks just repeat the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes they are only saying prayers and not really praying, and there is a difference. We can say a prayer. We teach our children to say a prayer. We lay ourselves down to sleep and pray the Lord our soul to keep. That's teaching them the attitude or the pattern of prayer. But we need to grow out of that. We need to go beyond that from what a child does and come and really get a hold of the Lord and not just saying a prayer, but really praying and asking God's blessings and His help for particular things. If not careful, it becomes what the Bible talks about as vain repetitions. It becomes something that just is a habit, and it's really not prayer. And so we need to look for our opportunities that we can pray for people and pray for things and pray for circumstances, whatever it might be. When we see that, then I believe we can take a time and maybe can take a moment and just whisper a prayer. I sent someone the other day a prayer request, and they said, "Getting on my knees now." And I hear that a lot. And that's the way we see the opportunity. You have a prayer request, then if you're not careful, you forget. If you're not careful, you let the cares of the day or the problems that come along and the difficulties that come. And before long, we will forget that I said, "I will pray for you." And the Scripture says that we sin against people when we do not pray for them and pray with them. And so these things are very important, not only to others, but it's very important to us, that our prayer life would be right with the Lord, that our relationship and our communication with the Lord is correct. And so to see those opportunities, sometimes maybe we hear something, somebody's had a wreck, that's an opportunity that we can pray. That's an opportunity that we can go to the Lord and can ask and go to the Lord. Even sometimes we don't know folks, and still the Lord impresses upon us to pray. And as I've said so many times, it's one of the hardest things in the world to do. Two things are hard for, I think, the average Christian, and that's to sit down, take time to read your Bible, and to pray. Those are the things that God commands us to do, But these are the things sometimes that just sort of get pushed away for a little while, and I'll do it later. I've got this to do, and I've just got to take care of that. And that's why we need sometimes a time and a habit of prayer, that we have that time set aside, our prayer time with the Lord, and to seize the opportunity, to seize the time that God has given to us, that we can call upon Him. What a great privilege it is to talk to the God that spoke everything into existence. I mean, we have that opportunity that we can go before Him. I can't go before the governor. I can't go before the president. I can't go before dignities of this world, but I can go before God. And I can talk to Him, and I may not get an audience with these on this earth, but I have an audience with the Lord. For He has told me to pray without ceasing. He comes, tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace, and He's opened the way whereby we can come directly to where He is and bring our petitions. And so we ought to use our opportunities and if nothing else, make some opportunities to pray and to take some time that we would pray for certain things. Not just Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, not just when we come together, but to have time in our personal life that we get alone with the Lord and really get a hold of God. Because we better learn how to do that, because one day we may have to do it for us. Maybe somebody else won't be praying, and I'm glad we can. And no one can stop you from praying. You know, the rules and the laws of our land sometimes say we can't pray in public and we can't do this. And we can pray to God any time. And somebody said, well, they took prayer out of schools a long time ago, so we don't pray. Well, I know a lot of kids that go to school and pray. And you might not can do it a certain way, but you can still pray to the Lord and to take that opportunity. And there's special days and special times that all across this country that kids meet, and they have their time of prayer. And thank God for those that will do that. And so opportunities out there. And the Lord said, watch and pray. He tells us that that one verse is that we enter not into temptation. The flesh is weak. The flesh can't do it. We're ready in spirit. We're ready to do certain things. But He tells us that the flesh is very weak. And it fights against spiritual things. You see, we have, as a Christian, we have two natures. We have a spiritual nature. We have an earthly nature. We have the Adam nature. We have the Lord's nature, if we're saved. And the old flesh rebels against the Spirit. The flesh doesn't want to do what the Spirit says to do. And I don't have to tell you that. You live in your body. You know how it is. How easy it is to say, I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that. I just really don't want to. And that's the flesh rising up. And the Lord says to watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Lest you enter into those areas where problems arise. And He tells us to watch and to pray. So the opportunities are there, and we need to watch for those opportunities. Another thing we need to pray about and to watch for are the not just the opportunities, but the objects for prayer. What do we pray for? Certain objects. Prayer, really to amount to anything, I believe it needs to be specific. It needs to be definite. You can shoot a scattergun load and all that type thing, and that's one type of prayer. But we need to have a specific prayer, specific needs. That's why we take prayer requests. That's why I gave you a while ago concerning Brother Solomon. That's a real need in his life. That's a real need that he has to gain that eyesight and to be able to get back to his homeland and to do the work that God's called him to do. And that's a specific prayer. And that's an object of prayer. That's something that I hope we don't forget tonight and go home and not mention anymore to the Lord, because it's a matter that's very, very important. If it was my eyesight, I'd want someone praying for me. If it was my health, I'd want someone praying for me. And so prayer to really amount to anything must be definite. It must be specific. We can pray for the Lord to comfort those that mourn and for those that are hungry, but that's a very vague prayer. That's a very general prayer. And that really doesn't accomplish a whole lot. We need to be specific about people and situations for which to pray. Ephesians 6, where we were just a moment ago. Let's turn back there. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 18. We read that a moment ago. Let's look at verse 18 through 20. And we find here Paul gives us some objects to pray about. He says in verse 18, as we read, praying always with all prayer, supplication, in the Spirit. That's important, in the Spirit. Not in the flesh. Don't pray in the flesh. It doesn't do any good to do it. Prayer is a spiritual matter. And so therefore we're to pray in the Spirit. And it says, watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means just keep on keeping on. Just keep doing it. Keep saying and keep working. Keep praying. Supplications for all saints. Praying for the people of God. Notice verse number 19. He says, and for me. Paul says, don't just pray for all the saints, but he brings it down to a specific matter here. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul brings this thing of wide praying for all saints. He brings it and narrows it down to the object of praying for him. And notice here what he says. Says, and for me. Pray for me. Have you had someone just to come and say, would you please pray for me? We may not know the situation, may not know the needs. Sometimes here and probably tonight we'll have unspoken requests that we don't know about, but thank God He knows about. But Paul opens this up now and he says, now I want you to pray not only for all the saints, don't just pray for Christians, but he says, now I want you to pray for me. And there's reasons Paul wanted his prayers to be uttered for him. He says, first of all, pray for me that I might have utterance. That means speaking. Paul was really asking for the people to pray for his preaching. That he might have the utterance, that he might have the speaking, that he might have the message, the utterance that would be given to him, the message that would be given. I would have loved to maybe sit under the ministry or under a message or two by the Apostle Paul. I probably wouldn't want too many of them because he's a pretty tough preacher. And I'd love to heard. And he's praying here for the people of Ephesus, that group of folks that are church in the church of that city. He says, pray for all the saints and watch and pray and all that. But now I want you to pray for me that the Lord would give me utterance, that the Lord would give me a message. That's a specific request that Paul had in his ministry. Not only for an utterance, but he said, open my mouth boldly. He prayed, asked for prayers that he'd have boldness in his ministry. And sometimes it's difficult for us to understand that. But Paul tells us here, I'm in bonds. He was a prisoner. And he was not his own person. He could not just do anything he wanted to do. And he was a prisoner in bonds. And so he said, pray that the Lord would give me the message or the utterance. And pray that I would speak boldly. And that means to speak with force. So speak with understanding and speak with knowledge and to be able to give the people that would hear him something that they could go away with and be blessed by what he said. Pray that God would give him boldness. And what a great prayer request that Paul had. May God give him the message. May God give him boldness to preach the message. And sometimes it takes courage to preach a message God gives you. You know what you're going to say for you. Most of the time, preachers know what they're going to say when they get behind the pulpit. Most of the time. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we wish we knew. But most of the time, we know what we're going to say. And we know that some of the things that we're going to say is not going to be well received by some folks. And it's going to be misunderstood by some folks. You get into the issues and the things of life. Sometimes folks just, they don't hear everything just exactly as you say it. And I've had people ask me, did you really say that? I said, no, I didn't say that. Well, they said you said that. Well, they heard it wrong. I did not say that. And sometimes we need to have boldness because we know there's going to be feedback. We know there's going to be sometimes problems. But Paul said, pray that the Lord would give him boldness. And I believe Paul had the boldness of the Lord. He made some strong, had some strong messages, some strong words, and I believe God answered that prayer. So he asked God for God's people to pray to give him utterance. He needed the message. You need to pray for your preacher. You need to pray for preachers everywhere that God give them a message. Anybody, any preacher that can do anything can sit down and make an outline. I was taught that in school. I can outline. I love to outline. My message tonight is outlined. I read some things in a book and I read things and I can outline. I love to do it. Anybody can make an outline. Only God can make it a message. And so God, Paul says here, God give him utterance. God give him the message. And then when you get the message, you say, oh, now I've got to have boldness. Now I've got to have courage. Now I've got to be able to preach it. Now I've got to say it. And so Paul's request, specific prayer, objects of prayer. And then he says, in this verse, he says, to make known the mystery of the gospel. He is praying for clarity. God, make them understand that I might make known the mystery of the gospel. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of mysteries in the Word of God. The church is a mystery. The gospel is a mystery. Christ is a mystery. The resurrection is a mystery. The virgin birth is a mystery. And these are things that we declare. These are things that we have utterance and messages about. And then we pray, God, give me boldness to talk about it, to preach about it. Now, it's not hard for me to preach to this congregation about abortion, against it. That's not hard to do. But you get in a crowd where about 95% of them don't agree with you, you've got to have some boldness to say what thus saith the Lord. It's easy to preach to the choir, as the statement is. It's easy to preach to those that you know agree with you. But when you get in another crowd, you got to have some boldness. And then you pray for clarity. God, help them to understand that I may declare the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the things of the Lord. Objects, not generalities in our prayer life. Call people by name. Call places by name. Call circumstances what they are. Situations that are there. Pray specifically for those things. And it may be something in your life. Pray specifically about that. Tonight, if we pray a general prayer on a lot of these things and somebody, God answers a prayer, we say, well, the Lord answered our prayer. That's good. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like being able to say, the Lord answered my prayer. Something that I've prayed about. Something that I have specifically asked God for. And specifically cried out to the Lord about. And maybe nobody else knew anything about it. Then you can say, God answered my prayer. And the Lord took my words. And so pray in specific ways, objects of prayer. Praying in generalities is like shooting a gun and not aiming. It's like taking a gun and just bang, 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 bang. My grandson's got a .22 rifle. It has a 10 clip. Holds 10 bullets. Now if he aims, he can outshoot me. That's not too hard to do. But he likes, when there's 10 in there, you know what he likes to do? Empty it as quick as he can. And you see grass flying, dirt flying, I mean just everything going. And that's just shooting scattergun. But when you take aim, then you hit the target. And that's the same way in our prayer life. We can scattergun it around, we can just name everything, we can just generalize everything and we say we've prayed. But if we take aim on something and say, God, I'm going to pray about this until you give me an answer. And last week we talked about the answer. It can be an immediate thing, it can be a delayed answer, and it can be an answer of yes or no. And so these things, generalities, and the prayer that we pray, something that the Lord will help us with. So there's the opportunities for prayer, the objects of prayer. Number three is the opposition to prayer. You don't have to do anything but say one word, Satan. He opposes our prayer life. Satan will marshal up his temptations against us. That's why the Lord said, pray that you enter not into temptation. He took his disciples into Gethsemane and he said, can you not stay awake? Can you not stay alert? Can you not pray with me these moments together? And so Satan will, he'll get all his forces together. Have you ever prayed and wondered why in the world your mind just wanders around? My goodness, that is so irritating and aggravating. I try to pray and then all of a sudden I'm thinking about something else right in the middle of my prayer. That's opposition. That's the devil. I see some of you smiling. You know what I'm talking about. It's happened to you too. It takes place. And so our thoughts wander, and these things come to us and we say, why in the world? I'm trying to pray. And then you try to get back on track, and then all of a sudden you're back off of it again. Have you ever prayed and then you wake up in the morning and you say, man, I don't remember ending my prayer? Sleep comes. I told somebody one time, best sleep, best way I know to sleep is just start praying. You'll go to sleep. It'll help. And that's really not the way it ought to be, but opposition comes from the foe. Opposition comes sometimes from the family. Opposition comes from our friends. There is opposition to our prayer. Oh, but thank God we have a friend. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He helps us with all those things. So there's opportunities, there's objects, there's opposition. And then lastly, thank God for the outpouring of the Spirit with answers. The Lord does answer prayer. And by the way, prayer does change things. I believe that. We need to pray believing. Praying doubting doesn't get anything accomplished. We must pray with faith. Faith believing. And know that the Lord can do. And sometimes we just need to go a step farther than the Lord can do, that we just believe God will do. Praying in faith that God will answer our prayer and will do what we've asked Him to do. If I could remember this definition of faith that I heard a long time ago, and it's a little confusing, but it's true. Faith is acting like you have it when you don't have it, so you have it. You just act like you've got it. You don't have it, but you're going to get it. And that's faith. God's going to give it to you. So that was one of the most simple definitions I ever heard of faith. Just act like you've got it when you don't have it, so you'll get it. That's faith. And really, that's what the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen, but we believe they will be seen. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with answers to our prayer, because we believe, because we have faith, and we watch for the answer. Watch and pray. We watch that God is going to do something in our life. We look and we anticipate that God is going to answer this prayer. Brother Solomon told me this afternoon, he said, preacher, I'm expecting God to answer my prayer. If we don't expect that, then I'm afraid we're not going to be getting the answer we want. And I know the Lord has certain things. I understand all that, but He tells us to pray. He tells us to besiege the throne of grace. He tells us to go to Him in prayer. Pray that He might answer, and He can do that. And so I'm glad for the times when the Lord answers our prayer. The outpouring of the spiritual life on the child of God. The answers that God gives us because we believe in Him. We have faith in Him, and we watch and we wait for God to answer. And how He answers will always be right. God never answers wrong. God never gives you the wrong answer. God will never give you the wrong direction. He'll never give you the wrong message. And that's why Paul said, pray for the utterance. Got to have the right message. Got to have the boldness to preach it. And to have the clarity that folks would understand it. So, watch and pray. Pray and watch. Pray and watch what God's going to do. And I believe, probably in this room tonight, that if we were to take time, and sometimes maybe we should, if we were to take time, we could go around different people, and we'd have testimony of how God has answered specific prayers in our life. Not what everybody else was praying for, but God answered my prayer. God did something for me. And what a great blessing it is to know that He does hear us. And He does answer. And many times He answers the way we're praying. And if He doesn't answer exactly the way we're praying, His answer will always be better than what we prayed. And so we just need to depend upon the Lord, trust Him, have faith in Him, that He will bless our lives. Prayer request tonight.